if someone's ever given you one of those monthly subscription gifts where you get the chocolate of the month, or this is a real one, the socks of the month club, every month you're like, oh, that's a fun little gift, and it reminds you that they were thinking of you. Well, buckle up, Buttercup. We're about to take subscription services to a whole new level. It's the Chicken of the Month Club. That's right. You can join me and other potties and WayFM listeners at fh.org/Wally Show and give two chickens to a different family every month. Now, chickens in these developing countries make a huge difference in the lives of these families. These chickens provide a sustainable source of protein through their eggs every day, which helps nourish malnourished kids. And since chickens multiply quickly, it's a great side hustle for these families in that they can generate income by selling eggs or chicks in the market. And by you doing a $28 a month gift, you can make sure that a different family gets two chickens every month. That's kind of cool and very different. If someone gave me two chickens every month, I wouldn't know what to do with that. But in these other countries, they not only know what to do with them, they're also very thankful for people thinking of them and helping them out of these tough times. So what I love about Food for the Hungry is their mission to end poverty by going to the places and walking with some of the world's most vulnerable people, and they've done it for 50 years. You can trust them and you can do some good right now. So go to fh.org/Wally Show if you want to join our Chicken of the Month Club. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the things we did not get to during the course of the show today. Sometimes we get calls that come in during the show that I don't play on the air, and I save them for the Aftercast, because this one was like 11 minutes long, and it was a lady that disagreed with our take on COVID, or my story about, like, we were at church, and my wife and I were in the row, and this whole family came in, and they sat down like with only one seat in between us, and my wife just stepped over a little bit. She's like, okay, she's still doing distancing, and she still wears her mask even though she has her vaccination and stuff, but you know, that's her choice, and she can live like that. It's okay. And so I kind of like subtly moved over, because I didn't want to just like evacuate, you know.
Right.
So I just did it more subtly than she did, and so that was it. And so that's what we're talking about, like your subtle COVID protocols. And this lady called, and she was just really not thrilled with my take on this, and she shared why, and there's a whole lot I disagree with her. Now, I respect the fact that she has her right to that opinion. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so we will go through some of this, but I love the warning, because Gavin came in and said, he just typed on the screen, he goes, offended, and like, and I'm like, oh boy, and Betty's like, oh no. And so this is where, before I picked up the call, the conversation that started this thing.
This is a chance for you to show grace and love.
I'm going to be amazing.
Patience.
I'm going to be okay. Amazing. Hey, it's the Wally Show. What's up?
Hi, how are you? I'm just calling in. I've never done this before, but I listen to YFM all the time, and I just felt that today was just a day where I needed to call in, because I felt like it was a little bit hypocritical of how we judge others and their decisions to do things during this COVID theater that's going on.
Let me ask you how so, because I was really trying to do the exact opposite of that, saying Betty and I both said it multiple times, you have to have grace for this, and everybody does things differently. And so while we were at church and my wife chose to move over and I moved mm-hmm. over with her, I wasn't right. upset that the people sat next to me. We just chose to distance ourselves, and no one gets mad. Like, so I don't think that's judgmental. How did you?
I know. I think that you have to make your own personal judgment call there, and you just chose to trust in your wife and controlled by that situation instead of being controlled by Jesus and controlled by God. I don't trust in science. I trust in Jesus. And throughout this whole pandemic, you know, I haven't been vaccinated and I haven't gotten COVID, and I thank the Lord every single day and I pray every single day. And so I put my trust in God. I don't put my trust in science.
See, I think you can do both. I think you can have faith in God and faith in science. I believe in God. I believe Jesus died for my sins, but I also understand gravity. Like, yeah. That's science. And I'm like, okay, it's okay.
Science is just a way to explain how God runs this whole
right.
thing. Show.
I get the frustrations of people saying, you know, when the Democrats say follow the science, and then they're all over the map. I understand all that. So I get where she's coming from. She's coming from an extreme right side perspective of this, of, you know, Jesus is going to take care of everything. Well, not true. Jesus is not going to protect you from everything, because no one would ever die if that was the case. Mm-hmm. And it's just simply not truth. You know, it feels good to say, I just trust in Jesus and I haven't gotten COVID, so I'm fine. Jesus is protecting me. Or maybe you're just, you know, lucky in the sense that that you haven't gotten it yet. Mm-hmm. But you push the limits and you might not be so lucky. So she continues.
And if I'm going to go to church and I'm going to sit and worship Jesus, I'm going to put my trust in him and his plan. And that's how we have to see things. I would never go to worship and ever judge anyone sitting next to me or move my chair over. God bless them.
Well, see, you're judging me for moving my chair over. That's the hypocrisy in this. You say, I'd never judge them for who they are. Well, no, you're just not judging the people that believe like you believe. But then if I say, well, I want to take a step aside, or my wife says, I want to take a step aside, then you're judging her actions. You have literally said she has no faith. Like, that is extremely judgmental and extremely frustrating.
You know, God bless us and hope. And if you're to die from COVID, you're to die from COVID. That was your path. And there's nothing that we can do about that.
Nothing you can do about that, really.
I mean, vaccine is for.
Yeah, they can do that. That's interesting.
You can't stop what God's plan is.
Okay, see, this is where you get into a whole big theological debate. If you can't stop God's plan, then how do you factor in suicide? I know it's God's not plan for anyone to kill themselves. So if you say, well, you can't alter his plan in any way, shape, or form, then that's, again, I don't believe that's true. If I kill myself, I've altered what his wish would have been for me, but he gave us free will. Yeah. And so I can certainly alter his plan. If I decide to walk out and stand in front of a bus today, and God didn't tell me to walk out and stand in front of a bus, and I get creamed and I die, I altered that plan. And so I think that's a huge, huge holes in her theology. And I mean, I get that she's passionate, and I understand. Look, I don't want to live in fear to the point where I fear everything and I can't function and I don't have faith. I get that on on some level. But then there's also a little bit of where you have to be somewhat cognizant of the world around you and have like personal responsibility. I don't think God saves us from all of our stupidity. I really don't.
Yeah. So I had somebody who's a parent give the analogy that if you have a kid and they're going to go ride their bike and you say, you don't have to wear a helmet because if you're going to fall and hit your head, you're going to fall and hit your head. But if you are wearing a helmet and you fall and hit your head, it's going to be less,
less damaging.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I got, this was like just a snippet of an 11-minute phone call with her. And I was kind through the whole thing, like uncharacteristically for me. Like there were so many points that I wanted to yell, especially like when you're like calling my wife's faith into question, yet the whole time saying, but I'm not a hypocrite. No, that's horrible. Yeah, and I'm not being judgmental. No, you are.
And on the other end, she also said that she like loves Wayfair, like loves what we do. So she was giving us also that amount of credit for like, she wasn't just some random person who was just like, I'm picking an argument today.
And herein lies the problem in doing this job amidst COVID, amidst everybody's extreme passions on both sides, is that like someone's going to be offended no matter what you say. And so it's really hard to navigate through that. And I'm glad. And again, we ended it well. I completely disagree with her on about 90% of what she said. There were a couple things in the middle of the phone call that I was like, oh, you know what? I actually agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. And you know, because I have conservative viewpoints as well. But boy, that one was, I don't understand that mentality.
I have a few points I'd like to make. I've written them down because sometimes I can get lost.
Good. Yes.
So I'm going to say this. I have personally dealt with family members that I'm close to who have had a horrible experience with cancer. So I was telling Wally after this call, if that family member was going through cancer at this time during this whole COVID situation, I would be on pins and needles because I would be thinking their body can't handle fighting back. It's very weak right now. And I would want everybody to follow directions and to keep my family member safe and well. But also, that's not fair of me to ask everyone to stop their lives just for this family member. Even though that person is valuable in God's eyes, also, you can't. And not everyone can stop their lives.
And nobody knows what you're actually going through, strangers. And so you can't put that on strangers to, you know, protect you 100% in your family.
Yeah, they can't know everything.
But you can expect people in your life that love you and care about you to be accepting of that. And like us, like, for example, like, we would do anything to help keep you safe because we have a relationship with you. And we know my friends, she's had the vaccination and the booster shot, but because of her disease, her body will not get the antibodies. So she cannot, you know, be around people, and she's like sick. And so we were going to go see them and stay with them, and now we can't because it could actually affect her, you know. And so we're okay, that's fine, that's just the way it is. But we care about her and we know her, so it's like, that's what we're going to do. But you can't know that for everybody, and so that's the other hard part of this to navigate.
Another point I'd like to make is that there are times in the Bible where God uses things to heal people. Now, we know that Jesus could heal anyone. If he just says, I'm going to heal him, you're clean, you're good to go. Well, it's done because he said so. But when he was on this earth, I think you remember there was this guy who was blind. And God, he spit in some
mud
and spread that on his eyes.
Nice.
Now, why did he do that? Because we all know he can do anything he wants. He could have simply not even seen the guy, even been in his presence and said, you know what, I'm going to heal that guy. But instead, he got in physical contact with that guy. He used mud, the dirtiest thing you can think of, to heal this man's eyes.
Yeah, the guy's like, you're going to infect my eyes.
Right? But you can see that as like, okay, is he using a medicine? Like,
right.
what is the point in that? Also, I think I've said this before. There's a story, and I was trying to find it as you were talking, and I can't find it, but it is in there because I remember listening to a sermon about it and reading it as well, where someone gets sick, and God tells a prophet, I want you to make this serum, this medicine, and take it to him and heal him.
Mm.
Why?
Right.
Because he does not have to use medicine.
Right.
He doesn't have to do it. We could say someone has a mental disability. Let's say they have depression or anxiety. It's the same argument of faith could heal you. Why don't you just step out in faith and, you know, if you just had more faith. But we live in a broken world. I think we forget that. This world is not made the way God wants it to be. Yes, he is in full control, but also this is not how he meant it to be in the first place.
Right.
Everyone has a sinful nature. I think when we think about that verse, and it talks about, I think it's mainly towards what we eat or what we drink, do without offending your brother. So there's something about, like, some people believe you shouldn't eat animals. There's some that believe you shouldn't drink alcohol. I believe that our spiritual walk is a personal walk. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't include other people in it, because we definitely need community. But I believe that God gives different convictions to different people depending on their situation, their circumstance. While one thing might be a weakness for you, it might not be for another.
Right.
But that doesn't mean if you're in the same room with an alcoholic that you should just be kicking back beers and all the stuff.
Right.
You need to have respect for God's children.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think respect is just and grace. I don't know. It all comes back to that. I get worn out.
It's already worn out.
I'm sick of the judgment on both sides.
Yeah.
There is judgment on those that are vaccinated. There is judgment on those that are not vaccinated.
The most interesting part of the conversation that I wish I could find or talk to or play was when she's like, I'm not vaccinated. I'm not getting vaccinated. My kids aren't vaccinated. And I said, okay. And she's like, you know, I don't believe in science, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, real quick, your kids, are they vaccinated against smallpox, rheumatoid, all the stuff that, like, the diptet, all the stuff that kids have to get vaccinated for just to go to school? Well, I researched those. Those have been longstanding. I said, no. So you're saying you can't have it both ways. If you say you just have to trust God, and if you get the vaccine for COVID, you're weak. You do not have faith, but you vaccinated your kids against all these other viruses.
Mm-hmm.
then that's hypocritical. You need to be the same across the board. Like, I respect people that say, I'm the same across the board. They're not getting a dip tet. They're not getting the vaccine for COVID. Like, okay, fine. I get that. Mm-hmm. That's your call. I don't know that it's the smartest thing, but it's your call. You know, but when you say, oh, well, we got these vaccines, you know, but not this one, you know, because her thought really was the government, this is all a thing to have the government control you, which there's parts of the political part of this that really frustrate me. And I've talked about that at length here. And I like, but in the end of the day, I don't think, as much as I distrust the government on things, I don't think the government is in some plot to control us and negatively affect us. I think they think they're doing the right thing right. by creating the vaccine and getting it in the arms of everybody. I think they think that's right, and I don't think they're handling it well right now, but I don't think it's some nefarious, like, Orwellian crime going on.
Right. I think we need to be careful with making assumptions about this woman. She said that she did some research. I mean, I worked at a daycare. I do know a lot of moms that did a lot of research, even when they were, these vaccines had been on the market for years. So there is a possibility that she did. I think what I would like to see.
But the thing is, research or not, doesn't matter. Like your blanket statement of, if you get this vaccine, you are not trusting God.
Yeah.
Then it should, I don't care what research you did, it's the same story.
So you're saying if you don't believe in the vaccine for COVID, then you shouldn't believe in the vaccine for anything else.
If you are, I get saying, hey, I don't trust this vaccine right now because it hasn't been through all the stages. And when it goes through all of its proper stages or it's not as sped up, then I would take the vaccine. I get that. I get the hesitancy. Mm-hmm. But when you say, I'm not getting this because I have faith in God and I should not live in fear, then you have to say the same thing about every other vaccine, about every doctor's appointment, about everything, because they're the same. It's equitable. You can't just cherry pick your moments of faith in God and lack of fear. Mm-hmm. You know, that's my point.
I have a friend, two friends, they're sisters. They lost their dad recently to COVID. He passed away at 72, 73. He was the pastor of a well-known church over there. Members of his congregation, multiple members, got it. Some passed away.
I know.
His wife got it. She actually made it through. I've seen it through my two friends, the sisters. I've seen it through their eyes, the loss of their own dad. Now, he didn't get the vaccine, and I don't know why he didn't, and that's his call. That was his choice. Now, if your argument is it was just his time, that's how God wanted him to go, I would like to see that conversation with you between my two friends.
Right, right.
Because it's not going to be a pretty one.
Right.
I think that's where grace comes in. That's where patience comes in and respect comes in, because there is loss. There is loss of people, and you can't make this a political thing because those are actual people. That's the bigger thing. I think we're losing the human side of this, and we're losing respect for people. Also, I would like to see all of these people that claim they're in church, so God's going to protect them. Okay, I believe that God can protect us from things. I believe that he probably has protected us from things that we have no idea what he's protected us from.
Sure.
I believe that is the truth. Now, that could be said then, let's have church in a pit of rattlesnakes.
Some places do. Welcome to Tennessee.
But those churches are not spewing out with people.
Right.
You don't see that many people at those churches because they look at them and they think, whoa, okay. I'm just saying.
Because they're not real believers that don't go there.
Okay. Well, you should have told this caller that. So I would say, if you are standing on that belief, then stand on it everywhere.
Exactly.
Else.
Exactly.
I want to see it.
I
want to see a Daniel in the lion's den situation.
That's my point.
And I don't want to hear complaining, crying, worry, fear, anger, because you shouldn't.
Right.
You're
Ever.
In church. You should be fine. Now, I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm saying I could possibly be wrong, and you're going to call me out on my crap, and that's fine. Because I don't stand for a lot of things. I'm trying to stand more.
This is awesome.
But I'm just tired of judgment. Why can't we all just respect each other? I say that, and then I see the stupidness in what I'm saying. Because
see, this is the problem of being a nine.
You just respect everybody and just do what you want to do. No, because there are people that are still dying, and you can't just say, well, do your own thing. I don't know what the win is. I'm just angry.
We should do a new bit called Full Circle where Betty Rock argues a point and then comes all the way back
and
around and unargues it.
Exactly. Yes. I unargue my own argument.
I think, you know, you talk about the human toll of this. I think what to me is the real sad thing is people that said, I don't want to get the shot. And for whatever reason, they chose not to. And again, I have no problem with that. Do you, boo, you know. But I've seen multiple people that chose that path, then got it, then on their deathbed were like, I should have done something. I feel bad for those families because you realized it too late, and maybe you could have prevented it by different behaviors or getting the vaccine. I don't know, but I feel really bad because those seem like avoidable tragedies to me.
Yeah.
And that's where I really felt like I was going to end up as that avoidable tragedy because I had stopped taking any real precautions. And I stopped with my personal responsibility, and then it was going to be on me.
Right. Also, I think about those families that have members, like let's say they have a kid that has, at any moment they could get an allergic reaction that's deadly. Right. We heard recently about a man, or maybe I read about it, I'm not sure, but a man that was in, that needed, he needed help immediately at an ER and kept getting turned away because their ICUs were just packed to the brim with people that were sick with COVID. So I think if I was a member of his family and I had just lost my dad, let's say, because the ICU beds were all taken up with people who were like, well, I'm standing in faith. Right. I believe in Jesus. Well, I do too. But now I lost my dad. Well, was that meant to be?
Right. Well, see, now you're on the other side of it where the argument is people who do not have the vaccine and are getting sick and are taking up beds are having negative effects on other people. Now, that's where Biden's frustration is. That's where Biden has created this them, us, and them thing. And he's like, vaccinated people shouldn't have to deal with unvaccinated people's problems. And so now you're kind of inadvertently arguing that side in part of your Full Circle moment.
See, there's no point to me arguing because I see both sides.
Right.
Because I also stand with the people that say, but I don't want to get the vaccine because I have health issues that it could detriment my own situation.
Sure.
Or I want to have free choice. I get that too. I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. There is no win. How Wally can stand on something and say, this is how it is. I don't know how you do it.
That's just how I see life.
I can't.
Oh, hey, quick update to a story that I had done last week.
On.
We went in on something good here.
Yes,
remember when we were talking
about birthdays?
Remember when we were talking about the guy in Louisiana who had gotten attacked by the alligator?
Oh,
and
this...
you guys went nuts about the story when like he just disappeared.
Oh, he got his arm chopped off.
Yeah, got his arm chopped off. His wife went to find help.
They found him at a Waffle House.
And they came back, and they couldn't find him. And so the update to that story is, they didn't find him, but they found the alligator that ate him.
No.
So did they inadvertently find him, too?
Yeah, they found the alligator with human remains.
No!
And so they think that was the one. So I figured you'd want an update.
Didn't you say that was a positive story?
Now there's closure. Like, you know the end of the story. Because before, you're like, there's no closure.
Mm-hmm.
So you're welcome. All right, birthdays.
No,
start with the kids. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this is a list of movies that had to scrap their original endings. Did you know that Legally Blonde, starring Reese Witherspoon, it actually had an original different ending?
Oh, please tell me she didn't end up with, what's his name?
Who's?
Luke
Wilson?
No, the main character that broke up with her.
Oh, no.
Okay, good.
Okay, so the original ending, they had it where Reese Witherspoon, or Elle Woods, a year later was handing out Blonde Legal Defense Fund pamphlets on campus.
Oh, okay.
But at the first screening, the audience just didn't think it was that exciting enough.
Right.
And so they changed it to where Reese is giving her speech at her graduation.
Oh. Yeah, the speech was good. Yeah.
It was a good ending.
Yeah, that movie ended like it should have. But that's crazy that they had a different out for it the first time. And we're like, ooh, got to fix that.
In Speed with Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock, it originally ended with everyone getting off the bus.
Ah.
But the studio didn't think the movie could be set entirely on a bus. So they added more action scenes. So then we get on a subway.
Yeah.
We're seeing all different things. So they changed that.
Do you remember that movie Phone Booth with Colin Farrell, where most of the movie he is in a phone booth?
I do. I never saw it, though.
Yeah, it was because there was like a sniper or something, like a bomber or whatever, that like if he had left the booth, bad things would have happened. But yeah, like so most of that movie was shot with him in a phone booth. But it's still like you're gripped by it, you know? I was surprised.
I started watching a movie with Ryan Reynolds, but it's a serious movie where he's buried alive in a coffin. Yeah, but it's because he was caught by the army, he's in a different country and he's in the army and they capture him, knock him out, and then bury him alive. Yeah.
That is like a fear
of mine. And he
wakes
up, okay?
Oh, the terror of that.
But I could not make it through the movie because I didn't know it had started because it's all black.
Yeah.
You know, you can't see him until he finds like a lighter later in the box.
Oh, no.
And also, it was just like, okay, you're in the box.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where are we going to go from here?
Right.
I don't know. Anyway.
She's like, I just left him there. I don't know if he ever got out.
I really did. I Googled it later to see how it ended, and it was really sad. So anyway.
Oh.
And then The Lion King, it actually had a different ending.
Did it
and
really?
This is hard to believe. So in a version of the script, oh gosh, yes, Scar kills Simba.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah.
What dark Disney villain wrote that?
Right? And then Scar burns up in the flames that surround them during the final fight.
Sure, we all
like
that.
So you remember at the end, there's that final fight, okay? Well, the storyboards, they had drawn it up and everything, but it just didn't make the cut. They were like, that's just not, we can't do that.
Like some Disney movies are dark. And I saw this interesting thing about Walt Disney. He bought a house for his mom and dad when in California. He bought him a house after he had become more successful. And he had the parents were like, something's not right with the furnace. So he had the Imagineers go over and work on it or whatever. And apparently they had some sort of a leak in there that they weren't able to fix, didn't fix.
Carbon monoxide?
And his mom died.
No.
Yes. So his mom died. His dad got out okay. But like they theorize that there's, in so many Disney movies, there's a tragic mom story or the mom's not there, like Bambi, mom dead. You know, they're like, because of his own thing, that there's a lot of the darkness that starts before you get to the light.
This brings me to another topic. This is going to really turn really dark. Okay, so there's always been rumors that Walt Disney froze himself.
Yeah, the frozen head. I used to have a company called Frozen Head Productions because I worked at Disney and I just thought it was funny.
Hilarious. I watched on the flight to Washington. There is a documentary on Netflix, something like Freezing Hope or Freezing Joy or something like that. But it is about a 2-year-old little girl that passed away from brain cancer and her family takes her and freezes her.
Is it real?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a real documentary. They freeze her whole body.
It's called cryogenics. Like, they've been playing with this for years.
Here's the ironic part. It's set in Arizona. Why are they freezing people in Arizona? It's so hot.
The hottest state. Like, don't leave them outside.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was shocking because it shows the family going to this cylinder.
Right.
And having, like, a ceremony.
Well, do you know why the rumor about the head is? The rumor about the head is
that
it's frozen.
Well, they did it with the rabbit.
Well, the
rabbit brain.
The rumor about Walt's head is that it's frozen and beneath Disney World or Disneyland because the idea is science can't fix you now, but
it's going to catch up.
Right. It will eventually get there. So they wanted his brain and his creativity, you know, memories to be intact so that when science could then transplant a head, he would. Yeah. So that's the theory.
But they've done it with a rabbit brain. They showed that in the documentary.
Did they really?
So it's a rabbit brain from, I don't remember. But then they put it into another rabbit.
What?
And it was alive?
And it was alive and well.
people. That's crazy. Weird.
So this family is saying she passed away from a cancer that we can't cure just yet.
Right.
But we're going to freeze her.
Wow.
And then hopefully science will catch up.
Whew.
But they left a video for her in case they passed away.
Oh, how weird. That's a movie.
Came back. I know.
That'd be a great movie.
It was weird.
Like, she gets reanimated. She goes in as a 2-year-old, gets reanimated the 500 years later.
And does she grow up or does she stay 2?
She'd be 2, I guess. But then, that would be weird. But then everything you know and thought you knew is gone.
And you know that they paid a lot of money.
Sure they did.
To do this for her.
I feel bad. You know what? It's weird. Like, I've had this weird thing of compassion recently, like for people that I don't even know. Like I'm a very compassionate and loving person for people in my life, but then there's parts of me that, like, for some people, like, I don't know them, so it doesn't connect
with me. If
they're
not in your circle,
but it doesn't land. But recently, I've been finding this more and more, like me going, I feel like to love somebody that much and to miss somebody that much, like this child. And to be that destroyed by it that you're just holding on to any kind of hope, like, I think that to me is super, super sad.
Well, and it's even crazier. So she had an older brother and he watched the whole process. Like, he was there when she was getting frozen. He saw the whole thing. And he's becoming a scientist and working in cancer.
Wow.
So that, and her specific cancer, so that he can heal
and
her.
And the pressure on that kid from his parents.
And you could tell he had so much pressure on himself. The dad was really hard on him. They had another baby. After that one passed away, the 2-year-old passed away, named her the same
name. No, they did not.
Yes, they did.
No, that's weird.
And I'll tell you.
Okay, that's weird. Well, there was a movie about this where they had this one girl had a disease and then they had another child.
Yes, Cameron Diaz.
Yes, and the other child was going to basically be a donor for this first child. The ethics in all of this are crazy.
So you talk about compassion. In one part of the documentary, it shows the parents walking through and getting like a tour of the facility in Arizona. And she's pushing around this little baby that's got the same name as the one that's in the cylinder. Mm. And the dad is just inspired by it all. He's a scientist. Like, he loves learning about it. And he's just amazed by it. And he's hopeful. And as they pan to the mom and she's pushing this little baby, the whole time you can tell she is just being so brave and listening to the scientists explain what has happened to her daughter.
Yeah.
And she is just wiping away tears the whole time. Like, she's happy for her husband because he's hopeful, but it looks like he's carrying the hope.
Like, she probably knows this ain't happening in our lifetime. Oh, my goodness. How much a year? Did they say how much a year it was?
It was less than I thought. It was something about you could choose either the body or just the head.
Okay, I'd go with it all.
Yeah,
I'd splurge.
Does 200 and something thousand seem like too much?
Yeah, that seems like a lot. And
it seemed like less.
Well, see, but 200,000 is a lot. But then you'd have to do it
200
like,
and something.
You'd have to do it yearly too, I would imagine.
That I don't know. I don't remember. But like I said, they're from Asia somewhere. I don't know. But he's a cancer doctor, so I'm sure he's making a good load of money.
Sure.
But still.
Yeah, you'd have to be.
That's a lot of
money. That is crazy. Well, there you go. Happy birthdays.
La 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 la.
Got any kids' birthdays for us?
La 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 la. Okay, yes, I do.
Oh, great. Sorry, kids.
Carla wants to wish her 11-year-old son Will.
Oh, Carla and Will, I'm so sorry. What a bad day for this. You know what? Will, you're going to have an amazing birthday. 11
is
a great year.
Yes.
What else does she say?
He loves video games, board games,
nice.
Fishing. I love fishing.
And
hunting,
I love video games.
Math. I hate math. He loves The Wally Show and being right. Sounds a lot like you.
Yeah, I love all those.
He loves with all his heart and is a great kid.
Nice.
Happy birthday, Will.
There you go, buddy.
Hannah's birthday is today. She's turning 14. It's her golden birthday.
I always forget what that means.
That
14
means
on the 14th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She's turning 14 on the 14th. I would love to hear the happy birthday song. Let's turn it around, guys.
Yeah. Happy birthday, everyone. So I guess 31 is the last time you can have a golden birthday. Right?
Yes.
Because it's the day of the month. Yeah.
Because you'll be 31 on the 31st. Like,
and
after that, you can't have it anymore.
I got gypped of mine.
Did you?
I turned 5 on the 5th.
Like, 5. You don't even know what that is. Yeah.
Then Julie wants to wish Ryan, her husband, a happy birthday, saying he's a wonderful husband, dad. He's a trophy dad, meaning he owns his own trophy store.
Oh, nice. That's funny.
How cool is that?
That's funny.
So the question is, what trophy would you give each other?
Oh, that's a good question.
Okay.
I give Gavin the kindness trophy.
Because or turning this into a positive thing, because I was going to give him the trophy for tiniest bladder.
Okay, well, that's
or most visits to the bathroom.
Yeah, 30 minutes.
Like, where's Gavin? Oh,
yeah, I'm excited for this dance.
Okay, well, that was unseen. The direction we went there, but Gavin's a very kind person.
That he is,
and
he
doesn't like.
I think he does it out of fear.
He's weak. He's kind but weak.
Stop. Yeah. I was getting a compliment.
Betty can turn anything. I would give you the I can turn anything around negative trophy, Betty.
Thank you. Wait, why did you give that to me?
Because
that's rude.
You can do it. See?
I'm offended.
You just want a trophy. But
I would give you the highly triggered, highly offended speaking truth award.
Oh, I like that. I'd take that. Oh, yeah.
Because you have a, well, no, wait.
Just make it a passion award. That's all. I'm just passionate.
No, that's not negative enough. Yeah. I think I want to make it the highly opinionated award.
I love that too. So far, not a problem.
I have
for
an
me.
Opinion about that too.
Yeah, not a problem for me whatsoever.
Okay.
And let me see for Betty. Well, did I do yours already? I've already forgotten.
Did you?
I think I did. Yeah.
Gavin, what did you give everybody?
Oh, I'll give you the best bagel award.
Thank you.
That's one of my favorite parts of the day is when you do make your bagel, because I don't always eat. Actually, I haven't had one.
You haven't, no.
But it just smells amazing.
Mm, they're good.
So,
and the secret to the bagel with butter is like you put the butter all over it, and then you take your knife and you jab holes down in the butter pockets, and it seeps into it.
Because
otherwise, otherwise it just rolls off of it. So, because I put a lot of butter on there, and so do the little things, and it'll seep in there.
And one would think, oh, it'll just seep in without the holes.
No, it doesn't. It does not.
You got to have
like
the
I have
holes.
Little butter swimming pools. and so it's like I got to make sure it gets down in there.
Have you ever gone to Dollywood?
Yeah, I love Dollywood.
Have you gotten the cinnamon bread?
No.
Because it is bathed in butter.
Oh, that's the
like
way to do
you
it.
Lift up a slice and it is dripping. There is a pool of butter inside of the bread.
Little Caesars used to have a dessert like that, a dessert pizza-y thing, and it was all butter in the bottom.
So good.
Now I'm hungry. Dadgummit.
I didn't get my trophy from Gavin.
Okay.
It was between two. I would give you a two-sided trophy because, again, you do a very good job of seeing both sides.
Oh, like a two-face.
Of a situation.
A two-face trophy.
Sure. Or would just give you a trophy in the shape of a hat because you always wear good hats.
She does have thank you. That was so kind of you. I'll give you a trophy for giving out good trophies.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Well, there you go.
Are you looking at your phone?
I was because I got things going on, and we have Francesca Battistelli coming in.
I think I want to talk some more. I have more opinions.
Believe it or not, I'm actually tired. Yeah. Yes. All right. That's going to do it for your aftercast. Thanks for being a potty.